Hello, dear listener. Chris T here with a special announcement. This Aerial View archive runs just 30 minutes long. Back in the day, sometimes our air check cassette deck didn't work properly. It was supposed to automatically flip to the B-side, and it wouldn't. So there are a number of Aerial Views that are just half an hour long. This one I felt was strong enough for me to post this half hour as an archive. But there is nothing wrong with your equipment. The fault lies with us. Enjoy this Aerial View archive from November 12, 1993, entitled Castration.
I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. Television. Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed for Satan.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise, he's kind, he is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
I guess every man fears losing his penis. The fear of castration is strong. And there recently has been a highly publicized case of castration. The Bobbitts, who had one of the shortest trials in recent memory, brought their sordid sex lives into the courtroom. And it was decided that Lorena Bobbitt had cut off her husband's penis
for some reason other than the one she originally expressed, which was rape. And this being the November sweeps period, of course it doesn't apply to us, but I don't like to be left out of such things. I want to talk about, yes, castration on this program. You're listening to Aerial View on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. My name is Chris T. I have never been castrated, maybe emotionally, maybe mentally, physically, no. And I am trying to figure out what is going on here and why this Bobbitt case has fallen along gender-specific lines. You talk to men about this, and they are, of course, outraged, and they feel that, well, castration's an awfully severe thing to do. And women have more of a response along the lines of, he had it coming to him. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I guess we can discover in the next 55 minutes during this program how you feel about it. If you would only call 201-678-7743. That is the phone number for you to reach us here on the air. I say us, and there's only me. There are no other people working on this program. So it'll be you and me, one-on-one. A real personal thing, eh? Wouldn't you like that for a change? Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, I just want to ask one question because I'm a little confused. Castration, does that refer to cutting off the testicles or the penis or both?
Castration would refer, I would think, to cutting off any part of the sexual organs, either male or female.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a much broader scope than I had originally envisioned.
Really? Okay, so now, now having a definition of castration before you, how did you feel about the Bobbitts and... Now, what was the husband's name? Was it William?
You know, I sure don't know, actually.
I don't know either, but he was an ex-Marine, and sometime a couple of months back, he was, I guess, sleeping when his wife took a knife and cut off his penis, and then she got in a car and started driving around, and she still had it in her hand. And
did she chuck it out the window or something?
That's right. When she realized it was in her hand, she did chuck it out the window.
Hmm.
And somebody...
I really am kind of curious about how they, you know, then found it, I don't know how many hours later, and reattached it. I mean, that's a whole issue in itself, really. Of, you know, does it function as good as ever?
Special police dog. That is called in on such cases.
On these cases.
Yes. And the police dog found it. It's a special police dog because the dog has no teeth. And
good thing, yeah.
And reattached it, but apparently it's not working.
Oh, wow.
So Mr. Bobbitt says he just wants to get his life back together.
Right.
But how do you feel? What do you think happened in their bedroom? Do you think that he raped his wife, or do you think that... she was angry at him for some other reason.
Oh, God, I have no idea, but...
pretend you're on the jury.
Well, that's the thing now. I mean, I don't know what exactly came out in the courtroom, but for whatever reason, the jury didn't believe her, you know, so maybe she was not that credible in her story. I don't know, you know, but... but going on to broader things, really, you know, with the frequency that rape does occur, I'm just kind of surprised it hasn't happened before, really. Not that it's a good thing to do at all, but I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm just surprised it isn't actually more common, you know.
More common.
Yeah.
Well.
Not that I want it to be, you know, in any way. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
Do you think it's a proper response, though? I mean, do you feel that,
No, but I'm, but, you know, if you really did undergo a brutal rape, you know, you're not really thinking, you know, you're not, you're mad, and, you know, you would just do anything, you know, I mean.
Well, I wasn't there, but would it be suspect to you that she waited until her husband was asleep? I mean, do you...
Oh, I don't know.
No?
Well, but he was an ex-Marine, so, you know, he beat her up if she, you know, he caught her trying to do something like that while he was awake, you know, I don't know.
You're probably right.
But, you know, as to her, I don't know what her story is, really, so...
Okay. Well, you want to listen to some more of the program and then call us back?
I would sure love to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris. It's listener Ned.
Ned, hi. Welcome to our special sweeps program.
Cool. I wanted to give a little historical background. There's a distinction between the European tradition of castration and eunuchry and the Chinese tradition. Now, in Europe, to make the opera singing boys, you know, they just cut off the testicles. But to make the eunuchs of the Forbidden City in medieval China, up to into the 20th century, they would cut off the penis and the testicles, and the eunuchs would have to wear special underwear because they would sort of dribble, and you could smell a eunuch 40 feet away.
How do you know this, Ned?
Just, you know, stuff I've read, you know, my vast store of trivia.
And you could smell them?
Yeah, you could smell the Chinese ones, you know, because they didn't have Depends back then, you know, they didn't have deodorant, underwear, that sort of thing.
Ned, thanks for adding that to my program.
Okay.
Anything else you want to say?
Let's see, I think, well, there's the Turkish harems. I think that was just testicles, too.
Okay, so it goes like this, then. High-pitched young boys had their testicles removed, and the Turks.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Forbidden City, it was testicles and penis.
Yeah, you got it. This
okay.
is my understanding.
I just want to make sure I had that right.
Okay.
Thanks, Ned.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, I just hope that this kind of outrage could be stirred up for the ritual clitoridectomies that go on in Africa and other parts of the world. You know, there are millions of women have their sex organs removed all the time, just every day, and nobody seems to talk about it as much.
Do you think that this kind of thing will bring that more out into the open? That
Well, I hope so. You know, maybe if people, you know, talk about it and men see that it's just as bad to have your sex organs removed if you're a woman. You know, you can also lose your womanness just like you can lose your maleness, you know. It's not as though if you remove, you can remove maleness but not femaleness.
And I sincerely doubt that they can be reattached either.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you reattach a limb or a part of your body, I don't think you can get the nerves back stuck together. I think the nerves stop working anyway, so.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for calling. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Mick from Lodi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? You know, I want to say that since that incident between the Babbitts, it's really had me shaken up, and probably a lot of other men, you know? And the first thing I did when I heard that on the news, well, I think he should have been found innocent in the first place, because there was no definite proof that he abused his wife or anything. But I ran right out to Siemens and bought myself bunk beds, and I'm sleeping on the top because I don't want to take no chances.
Okay.
You know? I think it's crazy, to do something like that, it has to be...
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married, and my wife sleeps on the bottom, and I'm on the top. And,
really?
You know, and, just for now, I'm seeing a psychiatrist to try to take care of the problem, and he thinks it's ridiculous, but for now, until the trial's over, I'm just going to keep it cool, you know?
Oh, the trial is over.
Oh, yeah, well, she's still got it. Well, you never know. I hope they don't meet again, you know? You might lose something else.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All righty, thanks a lot.
There you go, Lodi, checking in. So proud he announced he's from Lodi. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris, did you hear about the one about the Jewish guy that took his Gentile girlfriend to her first...
No. Hello, welcome to the air. Yes, you can talk now.
Yeah, I think that was Glenn Danzig from Lodi.
Oh, that was Glenn Danzig checking in. His singing voice is so different, you know. The phone number here is 201-678-7743. Gee, where would Glenn Danzig be if he was Mr. Bobbitt? Just think about that. That would really set him off on a new career path, I think. You're listening to Aerial View on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. And the subject of tonight's program is castration. But we can talk about castration in all its forms. There is the castration that Christine Whitman's campaign is being accused of, that is keeping voters away from the polls on Election Day. There is allegations, and these were begun by a campaign advisor of hers named Ed Rollins, who said that black ministers were paid to dissuade their congregations from voting for Jim Florio. They were paid, supposedly, to not mention Jim Florio to their congregations or suggest that people vote for him. And it's creating quite a stir. She's being investigated, or the campaign is being investigated, by federal authorities. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Listen, what I'd like to say is that I think maybe, just hypothesizing here, that in the the long run, there might be a certain freedom in losing one's manhood. And I think given if I found the right woman in the long run, I might be willing to try it.
Really? You mean losing it entirely or losing its function?
Well, I mean, aside from the physical problems that one would have, if they could do that right, losing the whole package, as it were.
Yes.
Well, it's something to think about.
You think it might be...
There might be some sort of liberating experience. All that testosterone leaving the body and you know, just something else would make up for it, I would think. Just like blind people say, you know, their other senses are more, you know, enhanced.
Okay. Well, would you be willing to test your theory?
I've got to find the right woman.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I know she's out there. And she's listening to this program. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I have an update on Mr. Bobbitt's penis.
Okay.
I believe that it is functioning as far as the erection goes, but what I heard on the radio was that he's lost the feel to it. However, it does respond to pinpricks.
Uh-huh.
So I think they have it attached or reattached, but it isn't exactly working right.
Okay. Well, I guess they're going to just have to keep sticking him with pins then.
Exactly, to find out what happens. But as far as the question is whether he deserved it or not, you know, it's clearly no. But what a violent rape where someone breaks into someone's house and rapes them, if it happens to them, I don't think anybody would really feel sorry for that rapist.
Yeah, well, I have my own opinion on the matter, and I will tell you in just a moment.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We have here a book that Mr. Bobbitt might be interested in called The Joy of No Sex by Swami Bhaktipada, and Freedom from Lust, This is Truly the Highest Happiness, is a quote from the Buddha on the first page of The Joy of No Sex. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm not a personal advocate of castration, and I wouldn't do it myself.
Uh-huh.
I have a feeling it's going to become more popular in the next couple of years.
How so?
Women just seem to be getting more aggressive these days. I think women have always been aggressive, but they had to be aggressive in a sort of covert way.
Okay.
You know, like they'd get married to men and they'd do, well, you know what I mean, you know, passive-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think women nowadays are just becoming more aggressive in a real overt way.
Now, why do you feel that is? I mean, is it becoming more socially acceptable, or is
yes,
it just...
Yes, I think so. I think culturally it's becoming more acceptable.
Really?
Especially amongst young ladies.
So you think there will be a rise of castration in the future?
I think there will be, because I think in some women's minds it's like saying, well, look, this is the only way to get through to you. And the fear of castration, you know, is going to be such a real thing that maybe men will toe the line more.
Well, what do you think happened between Mr. Bobbitt and his wife? I mean, do you think that, as he claimed, that, you know, they had consensual sex, or do you think he raped her, or do you have any opinion on that?
You know, I don't know anything about the case, so I don't feel qualified to say anything about their personal circumstances.
Uh-huh.
But I do know that if that was the case, it's, you know, not surprising what she did.
Okay, well, I think that she should have just shot him, because being an ex-Marine, he probably had handguns in the house. And I think that she could have avoided herself a lot of pain and trouble by shooting him, because if he's not around to talk, I mean, well, there goes your problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She
could have claimed anything at that point.
You know, obviously there are different ways to handle this. I mean, she could have done it in a better way. They could have sought counseling.
Sought counseling?
Yeah.
Do you think that works?
I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is very interesting. It's a very interesting thing that's happened, and people seem to really enjoy talking about detached penises.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but...
Well, I guess it's every man's nightmare, and when it really happens, people get excited. But I'll tell you this. I really think that, you know, a lot of hoo-ha has been made about the case, but that's because it's so far removed from people's real lives. I mean, You know.
Do you think men and women can get along? Do you think they're meant to get along?
Oh, of course. They're supposed to get along.
Really?
They are meant to get along. That's just it. They're supposed to get along. And when they don't, it's because there's something wrong, not because that's the way it's supposed to be. And And I think this whole penis castration thing, it's kind of a joke to some people.
Really?
No. I mean, like, this case is so popular and people are talking about it, but it's, you know...
You think they're laughing out of fear? I mean, the men?
Well, yeah, and also because it's just so ridiculous. I mean, it's just so... It's just so over the top that... It's like serial killers becoming famous, you know? I mean, it's just so far removed from your everyday life.
You know, I don't think the news would have... I really don't think it would have been such a big deal. I think the only angle of this case that makes it truly interesting... is that she drove away from the house with her husband's penis still in her hand and then tossed it out on someone's lawn.
Yeah.
And it was found and reattached. I mean, if she had cut it off and left it there alongside him in the bed, do you think it would have been such a big story? I think people were more amazed that she, you know, threw it out and it was found. I mean, that's what people keep saying, is they say...
Well, it would have made a better story if, like, the dog where the house, you know, was... found the penis, and like the next morning the owners of the house found it and it like lodged in his mouth or something.
Okay, it would have been like an urban legend then.
Exactly.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and then
anyway.
She could have claimed that while he was sleeping, the dog went berserk and ate his penis. And she would have been exonerated.
Yeah.
That would have been a tough one to pull off. Mm. Pardon the pun. Well, thanks for calling our little program.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris. Hey,
yes.
I have a question. If this guy gets any money out of this,
yes.
Would it be considered severance pay?
Yes, yes, it would. Oh, the first joke about this case. I hadn't heard one yet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, Chris. I just wanted to mention this castration case that was from the early 70s I read about. It was in China. And the husband had been philandering, and the wife was not happy. So she took a knife and cut off the offending organ.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, a fuss was kicked up. You know, he hollered and complained a lot. The neighbors came over to see what was the matter and find, you know, his missing bit. And they found it in the mouth of a duck. And they had to chase him, you know, chase the duck, much like a Keystone Cops movie. Get the penis back. So that ties in with the dog thing you were just talking about.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
The phone number here is 201-678-7743. You're listening to Aerial View on WFMU Uppsala College. My name is Chris T. And we're discussing the Bobbitt case. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of exactly what happened between Mr. and Mrs. Bobbitt. And I think that the case could have been even more interesting if, like, the Buttafuoco's, the Bobbitts had chosen to remain together. If Miss Bobbitt had come out and said that she was truly sorry for what she did and that she still loved her husband and she was deciding to stay with him. And if he said, I love my wife and I'm deciding to stay with her too. Now that would have been something. Instead, it's going to be just a regular old TV movie of the week. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Unfortunately, I just tuned in, so I don't know if somebody's already... You know, there's another pending charge against Lorena Bobbitt.
What's that?
Littering. Which I thought was very funny when I heard it, actually.
Uh-huh.
But evidently not.
I didn't. I'm sorry. It was your delivery, I think.
Yeah, I know. I was a little too low key in that one.
Yeah. You really just let the punchline die on the vine.
Well,
try it like this.
There's another charge. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. What's her name? Lorena.
Lorena.
Lorena. You know, Lorena Bobbitt has another charge against her, don't you?
No, what is it?
Littering.
Ah!
Okay.
The other thing is, I come from down that part of the country, and they had a neighbor of theirs on TV, on the TV, as they say down there, on the TV. And she was saying, well, you know, they was always fighting back and forth like that. This is a large, overweight woman with curlers and everything. She said, and it was just back and forth, and I never paid any attention to any of it. And the national attention seems to be probably much greater than, say, the Delmarva Peninsula attention. You know, down there, I had a cousin who was in the Marines, and he got caught in the wrong bedroom at the wrong time and got his nose broken with a frying pan by an irate husband. It sort of comes with the territory, you know? And New York's fascination with it, I think, is much greater than the local attention that's paid to it. It's like we're so sophisticated that we've lost sight of those primal responses.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally am very nervous about an outbreak of this in the Upper West Side or something. I think we're making light of something that could be potentially not fun. You know.
Okay.
I mean, crazed women coming out of singles bars with, you know, it just... it's too much like I don't know, there's some sort of Clint Eastwood connection in here somewhere. I don't know what.
Oh, don't bring up Clint Eastwood again. He was part of last week's program.
Hey, that's right, I remember that.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
So, I'm wondering if we should have some selected reading from The Joy of No Sex. Practical ways to remain sex free. Hello, welcome to the air.
I think that last guy should lighten up a little bit, you know. Kind of bummed everybody out.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
If you agree with the premise that rape is a violent act and not a sexual act, then I think this was her way of raping him.
Okay.
And I think women look at it that this is their way of committing a violent sexual act against a man because they clearly can't overpower a man. And I think that's why she did what she did.
Okay.
Wouldn't have been interesting, though. Why throw it away? She should have, like, almost kidnapped it.
Well, I think she was repulsed to find that it was still in her hand.
How could it just be inadvertently in her hand? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's quite possible that she didn't realize exactly what she was doing. I mean, I don't know that
temporary insanity.
Her admitting that she did it isn't the same as saying she knew, she knows why she did it, or it was. I mean, it could have been. You know, in England they have a really great thing. You know. Where a lot of murders that happen between couples,
right.
They bring into play the heat of passion thing, you know, and what people are want to do in the heat of passion. So it's quite possible, you know, that it's almost like temporary insanity. It's quite possible that she was temporarily insane and really didn't understand what she was doing or the actions that she was engaging in, and I'm sure her lawyer is going to argue that that's the reason why, you know, when she got in the car and discovered that her husband's penis was still in her hand, she threw it out the window because she was so astounded by what she had done. I mean, do you feel that's at all possible?
No. I mean, wasn't she claiming at trial that he was reading a list of the girls or the women he was cheating on with her as he was allegedly raping her, as she said? I mean, I'm sure that didn't make her real happy. I mean, that's what she said during the trial.
Well, he's an ex-Marine, and the guy looks like one of those jerks, you know, who basically deserves to have his tallywhacker cut off. So I don't have very much sympathy for either one of them, I have to be honest with you. I think that there are many other things that she could have done, including just leaving. She wanted to strike back at him some way. But I think the way that she chose to strike back at him was so inefficient. That's the only way I could look at it.
Right.
Is that it was an inefficient thing to do.
Now, I hate to put form over substance, but isn't castration the severing of the testicles and not the severing of the penis?
Oh, I don't know. Someone look it up in the dictionary,
right,
encyclopedia. Let me
give
know.
Give a call in.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, where was he calling from? Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. I have trouble believing that. Hold on a second.
Okay, we're holding on for the caller.
Hi, hello?
Yes?
I have trouble believing that it was as much of an accident as she claims, that it just happened to be that she reached for the knife and she then went into the bedroom and unconsciously.
She was in a fit of rage.
But
don't
I mean,
you see?
Come on, you know?
Come on, what? You've never been in a fit of rage?
But in a fit of rage, you still, I mean, you still think, and in a fit of rage, I wouldn't...
You're just upset because it was a penis. I mean, if it was anything else, if she cut off his ear, if she
cut
off his nose, if she cut off his toe, if she cut off a finger of his, if it was any other part of his body, you would understand, you would say, she was obviously angry.
No, I mean, I would understand maybe if she... First of all, you're right. She should have left. There are a lot of things she could have done.
She should have left or killed him entirely.
Killed him.
I think
exactly.
I think that she the problem that Lorena Bobbitt has is she's a halfway kind of gal, and she only did this thing halfway.
I think she had this sort of thing in her mind once, and the fact that she was enraged just gave her the strength, gave her the ability to actually carry it through. But I'm sure she had thought about it, you know, when my husband does this again, man, I'm just going to chop his penis off. You know, I'm sure she thought of it that way. And then it just takes one straw that breaks the camel's back, and that's all it takes. I mean, I don't believe it.
I have to tell you that all of this is conjecture on this program. We could sit around forever and discuss what we think happened.
But I mean, think about
it.
But
we don't really know.
Oh, of course not.
Okay? There's so many other things that you can say. I mean, it's quite possible that Lorena Bobbitt liked to be overpowered. And her husband thought that overpowering her was part of their regular sexual life together.
No, come on. I mean, that's
what do you mean, come on?
I'm
introducing a different angle, because if you were in the courtroom watching this case, it's quite possible, I wasn't there, but it's quite possible the lawyer for Mr. Bobbitt would be introducing these kind of things to the jury and saying, as a regular part of their sex life, Lorena Bobbitt liked to be overpowered.
What I'm concentrating on is, I mean, let's think about, like, what she has said of why she did it and how humans react. I mean, it's like with alcohol, how